need to have your attention. We're going to start, and just a moment of prayer and ask that the Lord is blessed. But it's been great to see Bosco again. As I said, he is from Uganda, but he is attending Southern Seminary. He's about done. And he'll be graduating in May, and a couple weeks after graduation, he'll be in his family and moving back to Uganda. He'll be working with Shannon and the things that he does there. And so he's just a terrific brother, and we've asked him to come and to basically give to us a worship seminar. Christianity, besides always being a religion that's about learning, it's also always been a religion that's had seen. It's amazing. When you look at other religions and you go all the way back in history, Christians have always sung, always. And I don't mean like chants, but songs. And no matter what nationality or what country, it seems to be a natural outflow as we worship the Lord. The fellowship and reading the scripture and the singing, expressing our praise to God as well as rehearsing the truths of the Word of God. It is one of the unique markers of Christianity. So we do want our worship to be more, I guess, not as comprehensive, but I guess a better expression of who we are. America really struggles with a lot of different things, and for whatever reason, music is kind of, it's just a weird thing. So he's going to fix it for us. Anyway, that's so let's pray, and then we'll turn it over to Bosco. Father, we do thank you so much for your grace, and thank you, Lord, for what you give to us. You give to us, Father, life itself. And so with that, Father, we have joy and happiness. We have a life that is full, and it is filled with a greatness, Lord, that causes us to love all of life and also to look forward to the life to come. And so, Father, we ask that you bless our time this morning as we do seek to learn and to grow, that, Father, we may worship you better, that we may be able to express to you, Lord, the gratefulness that we have in our hearts for who you are as well as for all that you've done. And so we thank you and we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Good morning.
Good morning.
I hope he hasn't raised too much expectation, you know. But we thank God for his grace that we gather here this morning together. I'm so excited to be here, and my prayer is that, you know, my accent, the language will not be a barrier, you know, for you guys to hear me clearly this morning. It's a joy for my heart, you know, since I was asked to come and talk on topic of worship. Thought it's just too much, it's so wide, you know, it's difficult. Like as he says, he's gonna fix it. It's so hard to fix it just in one time. But this is what the Lord has put in my heart to share with it, you know, with you in this first session is on the topic of why we gather. So I thought that the church needs to know or needs to be reminded why we gather. So I think that lays a foundation, one of the big foundation for our worship experience as we gather together. So I want to read for us Psalm 150. Psalm 150. It says, praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. Praise him for his mighty deeds. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the trumpet sound. Praise him with lute and harp. Praise him with a tambourine and dance. Praise him with strings and pipe. Praise him with the sounding cymbals. Praise him with loud clashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. If this was in my country, in Uganda, just saying praise the Lord, everyone would go amen. how about here, if we do that just a little bit, you know, just saying, you know, because we're saying we praise who? Praise to who? Praise to the Lord. So what would be the church response? Wouldn't we say amen? All right, praise the Lord. And I like the way it opens up, says praise the Lord, and then it ends up with praise the Lord twice. So it's just like, we can't keep quiet. We can't keep silent. So we should go, amen. So feel free anytime to say amen. If you don't, I will probably say amen. And then you go, amen. All right. just bring a little bit of a Uganda here or African culture here a little bit. So bear with me, okay? All right. So the question is, why are we here? Why are you seated here? Why are you right here to your, you know, sitting next to your neighbor? Why do we gather? Could we not this morning worship from our houses? Just think about that. Couldn't you just stay home, just open your Bible, and you know, read, pray, sing a song and all that, and stay comfortable in your home, you know, instead of spending 2 hours here or three or so, just why not spend just 30 minutes at home and be comfortable? So why do we gather? Number one, we gather because God calls us. Psalm 95. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. For the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods. In his hands are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to him. The sea is his. He made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care. Like when the scripture opens, say, come. Come, let us worship. Come. There's no way that would apply if we're just home in our individual houses. Like, come. So what a beautiful thing it is. If you look at that, he does not only call us, but he also enables us to come. Think about this. None of us here is able to come to the church on their own. Do you think you're here because you had a good car, you know, that you could drive, and there wasn't traffic or anything like that? And it's because God enabled us to be here, enabled you to be here. There is nothing in us that would naturally propel us to come to church if not God himself. Just think about that. On your own, on my own, there's nothing in me, there's nothing in us that would naturally propel us to come to church. There's nothing. If it's not God himself enabling us to come. He calls, he says, come. But then he doesn't say struggle on your own. He's like, he enables us to come. So we look at that more. There is such a strong force, the power of darkness, that resists us from coming to church. Would you agree with that? There's a strong force. If it's not God enabling us to come, there's such a strong force. And this force manifests in several ways. We could look at a few. One could be sin. When we live in life of sin, in the pattern of sin, we're in the darkness. Darkness and light don't meet. And so when our lives are so much soaked in sin, sin hinders us. I mean, you feel guilty. You feel uncomfortable. You think that if I go to church, maybe the preacher is going to be saying things about my sin or things. Just guilt just like hinders you. You cannot come. You cannot come to church. Sickness. Many people have different views on this, but I want to tell us in reality that the enemy uses our physical body that is weak to hinder us from coming to church. The time someone sleeps, you know, maybe you are healthy the whole day, you know, but then the evening comes, by the time you go sleep, you're just like screwed down with a headache or, you know, things just come around your body, fever comes up, and then what do you end up thinking about? What do you resolve? Okay, I'll not go to church. Because I got a headache, I'll not go to church. My knees are hurting, I'll not go to church. My back is hurting, I'll not go to church. So everything that is happening is, I mean, it's your body functioning, you know, in that way, but what you decide at the end of it, I'll not go to church. And the enemy is so happy that you're not coming. So that force, and it comes through the sickness as well. How about programs? Christians have also come to embrace making nice programs to substitute for coming to church. Maybe it's only me. But people do make programs in the time when they are supposed to be in the church. I mean, it's a good thing that the program they have is really beautiful things, but why in that time when you are supposed to go to church? How about feelings? This has happened to me several times, and probably the most that happens to me is a Sunday morning that you just feel like screwed down. It's not like you're sick. It's just a feeling. You wake up with a feeling that I just don't. I think I can just rest. Yesterday, I was so tired. I worked a lot yesterday, you know, blah, blah, blah. There's so much. And then you're like, I'm just not feeling good. Because you're not feeling good, you're not come to church. If that has not happened to anyone here, then you're really angels sitting right here. So, but there are times when, you just feel not going to church in the morning. I will confess that most of the times I made it to church because I had a responsibility at church. Because I'm going to lead worship. I'm going to participate in the worship team. I have this to do at the church. I end up going anyway, but if I had nothing to do, just assume that you had nothing to do. If I had nothing to do at church that I'm going to lead, I'm going to sing, I'll be like, I think I'm going to take today off. Does that happen to some of us? Just like saying, let me just take this morning off. Just sleep a little longer. Let me rest. I worked so hard in the week. So you can see out of all this, there's nothing in us that would naturally propel us to come to church if it's not God enabling us to do so. On a Sunday morning, help us go through our weakness, help us go through the sickness, help us go overcome our feelings, that feeling. And so it's God who enables us to come. So he does not only call us, but he also enables us to come. And number two, we gather because we are a body. Because we are a body. I'm sure I'm talking things that you guys already are familiar, but it's a reminder that we need to remember each time we're coming to church, we're coming together because we are a body. None of us here would have been so happy this morning to say, let my left arm stay home. Let me do without my left hand, you know. Oh, at least let me cut off one leg off for today, you know. That wouldn't. So we come together because we are a body. We're a body that functions together. We are better together than when we are apart. Psalm 133, verse 1 to 3 says this. Behold, how good and pleasant it is when brothers gather together in unity. It is like the precious oil on the head running down on the beard of the beard of Aaron, running down on the collar of his robes. It is like the dew on Hermon, which falls on the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord has commanded the blessing, life forevermore. I like the opening. How good and pleasant it is. Just look at that. How good it is that you're sitting here. Just think about how good it is that you're sitting right here now. Now, take a look just around. Look at your left or right or front or back if you can. And let's ask ourselves how good it is that everyone is here. Just thank you. Just think this. If you came to church today, and you're sitting here and no one showed up, would that not be the opposite of what the scripture is saying? So would you be glad? Oh, I'm so happy. I'm the only one at church today. Would anyone say that? No. How good it is for us to gather together. Sit together. I mean, that's the biggest joy. Hebrews 10, 24 to 25 says this. And let us consider how to stir up one another and to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as it is the habit of some, but encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Wow. And how would that happen if we don't meet together, if we don't gather together? So that's a powerful thing. It says, as it is the habit of some. All right? So that means among us as Christians, there are those who, for some unusual reasons, wouldn't be glad that they came to church. If you're sitting here because someone had to drag you to be at church, then you could be part of that, what the scripture is saying, as it is the habit of some. But my prayer is that, you know, all of us came joyfully to be together. And we function as one complete unit when we're together. And because we are a unit, we build one another better. How can we build one another? How can this that the Hebrews 10 is telling us to do if we're not together? And we fellowship better. Because we are a body, one unit building one another, fellowshipping with one another, we find our delight in God. Amen? We find our delight in God when we're a body that is functioning together. John Piper says this, true, authentic, God-exalting worship is the experience of the new heart of being satisfied by or enjoying or delighting in all that God is. That God is for us in Jesus Christ. Number three, we gather to be fed and nourished through God's word. We gather to be fed and nourished through God's word. There is a wrong teaching by, you know, manipulating preachers all over the world that we gather to give. There's that aspect of us gathering to give as a service to one another. We will look at that later on. But we don't, our primary reason for gathering is not to give, but is to receive from God. God is not in need. Is he? Is God in need? Isn't the opposite true? Who's in need? Did we not come here because we need God, or did we come here because God needs us? We need him. Praise the Lord. And so God is not in need. When we give, it is our own good. I'm talking in the context of when people say we gather to give. If we give, it is for our own good. And a sign of obedience to God as the giver and honor of all that we received from him. So if there's anything we give, our offerings, or anything we share with, it's because we are responding to God as obedience, in obedience. We gather to be nourished by God's word. The psalmist says in chapter 42, verse 1, as the deer pants for the streams of water, so my soul pants for thee, O God. What if that was what we were reading while we were coming to church? As the deer pants for the streams of water, so my soul pants for your word. I long for your word. The most God-honoring expectation for a Christian on a Sunday morning is to come with a thirst and hunger for his word. Is that how we've come this morning? Did we come hungry? Did we come because it's a Sunday morning, it's a habit, it's a tradition that on Sunday mornings I have to go to church? Or there's a hunger for every day that we come. Is this special hunger in you, a thirst? Are you thirsty for God's word this morning that I want to go to church and be fed and be nourished by the word of God? is that is the thirst there in us, is the hunger there in us. Number four, we gather because the Trinity models it. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Listen to what gentleman Ware says. God's whole and undivided essence belongs equally, eternally, simultaneously, and fully to each of the three persons of the Godhead, so that the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, each is fully God, while each is his own personal expression in the role and activity of the one eternal and undivided divine essence. And so in the same way, the gathering of the church is the theological reflection of the nature of God. It reflects the unity and the community of the Trinity. All are individuals, like here we are seated, all individuals we are, but are spiritually woven. I like that. We're spiritually woven. Oh, you say woven? I don't know. Into one entity called the body of Christ. I don't think now, as we sit here, God is seeing each of us as pieces. He's seeing us woven together. We're one body. Therefore, Christian gathering ought to be full of love for one another, reflected in the ways we encourage one another, seek to strengthen each other through God's word. I have a question for us all. What is the most thing we talk about when we meet, when we gather? What do we talk about? Sports? Yeah, everyday life. Is there a moment when we gather that we can, my brother, I read this scripture, I read this verse, it meant a lot to me. I was going through this, but when I came across this, you know, this passage, I was reminded, I was strengthened, I was encouraged. Oh, brother, is there anything I can pray for you, sister? Is there anything you're going through I can pray for you? And we are open to each other. We encourage. If we gather for, you had a talk for, a time to talk, let's say an hour to talk, could we spare 5 or 10 minutes just sharing a scripture with each other or praying for each other? And then the rest, we can go on sports, talk about sports and the rest. Could we just, that 5 minutes that you spent with a brother and a sister and encourage them, you know, praying for them and showing them love and showing that you care and showing that you are the right eye, I'm the left, you know. We are a body. When your right eye is paining, does the pain stay there? Does it stay just there? It's the whole body. Because your one eye is paining, the whole body is going to have to go to the hospital. Right? Because you cut one finger, it's bleeding so badly, the whole body, the legs are not going to say, okay, you go, that was your mistake. I wasn't there. My job is to walk. You know? It's not going to be that. And so the whole body is going to have to move. And that's what we are. And so that means when something happens to somebody, we all feel the pain. We're a body. We are commanded to gather in order to encourage one another. Hebrews 10:12-24, it says, and let us consider how to stir up one another in love and good works. Wow. I like the word consider. Let us consider. Let us be in our consideration. Let us come now, you know, prepared to encourage someone. When we come to church, do you have a word? Do you have a verse? Either challenged you or something like that to share with a brother, with a sister, you know? Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. One of the features in Hebrews is its emphasis on the care that members of the congregation should have for each other. How are we spiritually caring for each other? And how are we physically caring for each other's needs? The corporate edification is an explicit New Testament mandate goal of corporate worship. So number five, we gather to worship. We gather to worship. Isn't that what we want to hear? We gather to worship. Worship is the purpose of redemption. Multiple times in Exodus chapter 3, between chapter 3 and chapter 10, there's a lot of corporate worship. It's said to be the purpose of redemption. If you're writing, it's chapter 3, verse 12, for the sake of time, and verse 18. Chapter 5, verse 1, 3, and 8. Chapter 7, verse 16. 8, verse 1, and 20, 25 to 29. Chapter 9, verse 1, chapter 13. So, I mean, chapter 9, verse 1 and verse 13. And chapter 10, verse 3, 7 to 11 and 24 to 27. Now, the question we would ask, or someone would ask us, why do we worship? Why do we worship? There's several biblical answers, responses to that. First, a few are suggested here. First, we worship for his own glory. We worship for God's own glory. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31 says this. This amazes me how it relates or connects to worship. Says, so whatever you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Even eating, even drinking. And then it says, I mean, isn't that part of us? Who of us would do without any of those two? None. That is like, it's something we must do every day. Eat, drink. Eat, drink. But it says, do that for the glory of God. And then it says, do all, everything, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Psalm 29, verse 1 and 2. Ascribe to the Lord, O heavenly beings, ascribe to the glory and the strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. From these reasons, the scripture gives us, there is no better answer than the glory of God being more important than anything else in the entire creation. There's nothing. It's the glory of God. The chief end of the church is to glorify and enjoy God together forever. Because the chief thing in all the world is God's glory. Also because he said it in Exodus 20 verse 3. He says, you shall worship no other gods before me. What is he saying? It's me that you should worship. You shall worship no other god before me. Because he created us to worship him, so we worship him. Because he saved us, so we worship him. Because it is our joyful duty as Christians, so we worship him. Because God has chosen us for his own inheritance and seeks to commune with us, so we worship him. Amen. Worship is at the center of our existence, at the heart of our reason for being. We are the image that reflects the glory of God, and the existence of the entire universe is a reflection of God's divine glory. Psalm 19 verse 1 says this, the heavens are telling the glory of God, and the firmament proclaims his handiwork. Wow. Ephesians 1, 9 to 6 says this, blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ Jesus with every spiritual blessing in heaven places. Even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoptions as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved, that is Jesus Christ. This prayer also says so much about the worship of the earliest church, the earliest Christians. They understood themselves to have been destined and appointed to live to the praise of the glory of God. What about us today? Do we reflect that? Do we know that we are being appointed to live to the praise of God, to the praise of his glory? If the answer is yes, I guess if I say that, everyone would say yes. The question is, do we actually live it? If we know it, and we know it well, we've heard of it again and again and again, but do we actually do it? Do we do what we know? Therefore, when we gather or assemble, we do so with one goal: to glorify and enjoy God in accordance with his written word. In worship, the different elements. Now, these different elements in corporate worship, such as reading of the scripture, preaching, prayer and intercession, singing, communion, baptism, and all this ought to be pointing us to bring glory to God. Whatever happens, the reading of the scriptures, you know, the preaching, the singing, everything is helping to point us to bringing glory and honor to God. And so, in all this, is someone going to say, my favorite part is the singing, my favorite part is the preaching, my favorite part is the scripture reading? All these are pointing us to glorify God. Reading of the Bible is the means through which God speaks directly to his people. So once the scripture is opening like this, it's like God's mouth is opened. The scripture is read, he is speaking to us. I hope that in a church like this, it's not just a tradition that we read the scriptures. Okay, in our program, there has to be scripture reading. That moment is extremely sweet. God is speaking to us. In the preaching, when the word is faithfully preached, the scripture is explained to the people, and the church is built to put their faith and hope and trust in God. Prayer. In Matthew 21:13, Jesus said, my house shall be a house of prayer. Unfortunately, so much can be given attention to in the church activities, in the family, in individual lives, but prayer is the least taken seriously. Maybe you guys don't experience that here. Maybe individually you're okay. But if we're being honest, we can examine ourselves. Personally, in your personal life, how much is prayer a consideration for you on a daily basis? How much do we relate? Do we see prayer as a burden? Prayer seems to be something we have no time for. Prayerfulness is an important element of worship and a sign of our total dependency on God. Not only the worship at church, your entire life, personally. If your life is not a prayerful life, something is missing. You're missing a fellowship with your Creator on a daily basis. And do you know what that means? Christians who don't pray are simply saying, I am in a church. I don't need God. I can plan myself. I can organize myself. I know what to do today. I have all the plans written down. I know how to drive. I'm okay. We're simply saying we're in a church. Therefore, a praying church is a growing church and a worshiping church. How I wish that prayer would have place in every church taken seriously, like as it was in the book of Acts. We have so many programs that we pay attention to, but the element of prayer seems, if it's there, it comes so quickly, goes so quickly. It just flies so quickly, it's never given time to. How about singing? Our songs should be rich with biblical theological content reflecting the themes and proportions of the Bible. I want to encourage you, church, to be looking at the content that you guys, you know, are singing, what the, you know, the worship team is bringing to you. That's what we need. The content, it doesn't matter. If we're being honest before God, it doesn't matter. If we sang a hymn, if we an old hymn, if we sang, you know, a contemporary song, whatever we sing as a church, what is the content? Is it reflecting the themes and the proportions of the Bible? In other words, we read the Bible, we preach the Bible, we pray the Bible, we sing the Bible, and so we live the Bible. And when that happens, our lives are in worship. Number six, we gather to serve. We gather to serve. To serve who? To serve God. And how? We serve God by serving others. I learned a very powerful statement that says, people are the ministry. In that way, all of us as a body of Christ, we would be in a ministry by serving one another. Just think about the parts of your body, how each part is actually serving the rest of the body. When you feel you need to go take shower, which part takes the most active role? Is it the ears? The hands do the job. When you need to go somewhere else, the legs does the job. But it's the whole body. Billy Graham said this, the highest form of worship is the worship of unselfish Christian service. Wow. The highest form of worship is the worship of unselfish Christian service. Before you leave your house to come to church, what is your mindset like? How are you prepared to meet with the rest of the body? That is something we need to, if it has not been there before, that's something that we need to begin to think about before you leave your house to come, for us to come together. What is your mindset? Are we prepared to come to be an encouragement to one another? Are we prepared to come and give or to receive? How does that work in this context now of us serving God by serving one another? Do we come with a mind ready to serve one another? Do we come with a willingness to serve others? Or we come ready wanting to be served? I think Christians, we need to wake up from our sleep. Really, we need to wake up. We need to come out of the tradition. We need to come out of making Sunday service, Sunday mornings and all that just a tradition. It's not a tradition. I picture this. Each time God sees us coming together, what does he see? What does he see in each and every one of us from home? First of all, in your personal preparation for coming to church, what does God see? What are we reflecting individually? And when we come together, how does a fellowship happen among us? Is God so happy that we came together? Or he's so sad? Do we find ourselves in Amos 5? Where God is not even pleased to hear the music, to hear the sound, the noise. It's called the noise from us. Oh, he's so excited that this is flowing with God-honoring hearts. Out of why we gather, I want to encourage us as a church, personally, the area of prayer be seriously considered. And this does not only happen when we're together like this, but it begins with individual lives. Believers, we have time for God. We are just not using it. We're just taking the time that God has provided, we fill it with something else. We need to do our duties, yes. We need to work, we need to get our jobs done, but out of the 12 hours, let's talk about 24 hours that God gives us in a day, really, don't we have 10 minutes solidly just to be before God, kneel personally before God, and pray, and have a relationship with God in the prayer? Was that bell for me? So I think it's probably a good time, right?
Yeah, 5 minutes.
I have 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Perfect. Perfect timing. I'm actually done. All right. We will continue in our main service later on, looking at what worship is a little more deeply, and start from the misconception of worship. Let's pray together. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We bless you, we praise you, we honor you for your goodness, your mercy, your grace, your kindness shown to us. You, the creator of all things, seen and unseen, the one who spoke the universe into existence. Wow, how awesome that is. That everything came to existence from nothing. Lord, who is there like you? You deserve all praise, deserve all glory, deserve all honor. Lord, our heart's desire is to commune with you, is to love you more, is to have personal relationship with you more deeper, growing deeper and deeper every day, and reflected in how our relationship grows with each other and as a body of Christ. Lord, I pray that the word spoken to us would have place in our hearts. And Lord, would you be glorified? Would you bless this congregation? Help them every day desire more of you and have communion with you personally, and continue growing in you, loving you by loving your people, serving you by serving your people. Would you be glorified in our lives? In Christ's name I pray. Amen.